Your Bible, would you go there? And I'm going to ask you to turn to several scriptures tonight. I want you to go to those as quickly as you possibly can. I won't reference the time over and over. I just want you to know I am watching it, and I want you to be patient with us tonight. Psalm chapter 63 in the Word of God. Keep your hand there, and I want you to listen for just a moment. The Bible teaches us in Acts chapter 13 and verse 22 that David was a man after God's own heart. In other words, David was somebody that God really liked. How many of you would like to be a man or a woman after God's own heart? Would you raise your hand? I'd love for that to be able to be said of me, and it was said of David. What a powerful testimony. He was a man after God's own heart. By that, watch me now. Don't be distracted. If you're sitting here, somebody that's a distracting person, just ignore them for a little while. How many of you, the person next to you looks distracting? Let me see. All right, just look at them right now and say, hey, leave me alone. Go ahead, tell them. Even if it's your husband or your wife, just say, leave me alone. God liked David's emphasis. God liked David's thoughts. God liked David's heart. God liked David's actions. David was the model. David was the man. Outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, David's my favorite Bible character. Obviously, there were things that God liked about David. And God said about David, that's a man after my own heart. What was David really like? Have you ever taken time to consider? A man after God's own heart, what was he really like in his relationship to God? What did David emphasize? What did David think? What did David feel? What did David do in his personal relationship with God? It had to have been a very personal relationship. Because God said, that guy is a man after my own heart. God knew David well. And the Bible says that God liked David. There are some people I know that I don't like. How many of you have somebody like that in your youth department right now? You say, I know them, but I don't like them. But listen, God liked David. I believe this. David was somebody that loved God. I believe he loved spending time with God. He thought the way that God thought. He felt the way that God felt. I believe this. Follow me. David was consumed with and David was infatuated with God. Psalm 63. If it's your habit to mark or underline your Bible, would you see the word thee and focus on thee as we read through this chapter? O God, thou art my God. It's David speaking under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. I just want you to notice in this chapter, in verse 1, David said, early will I seek thee. You know, here's what I believe in our independent fundamental Baptist churches. I think too often we're seeking God for what He can do for us instead of just seeking Him in His person. You know, I think a lot of Christian young people, if you're not careful, it'll be like God is a spiritual Coke machine for you. It's like, well, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to do what I do, meaning I'll offer up a prayer. And I just have this expectation that God's going to deliver as I order Him. And people look to God, especially when we're in trouble, especially when we're in tough times. And I'm not against the concept of us praying and praying fervently. And I understand the principles in the Word of God about prayer. But I'm concerned that we don't know enough about the concepts about praise. We are often going to God for what we need and for what we want. And that's biblical and that's practical in our Christian lives. But I really believe about David that one of the reasons that he was a man after God's own heart is because David was not just consumed with what God could do for him, but David was consumed with God Himself. Why don't we start tonight thinking about what God wants us to do for Him? And I'm not talking about what God wants for us to do for Him like something else that we put on our ministry work list. I'm talking about in our personal relationship with God. What does God want? If you've ever taught, preached, you men in particular, about marriage, we would often say, you know, you're not supposed to love your wife the way you want to love your wife. You're supposed to love your wife the way that she wants to be loved. We'll give some marriage counseling to you teenagers. It's wise to go to the restaurant that your wife prefers. Are you with me? It's wise, if you're going to buy her flowers, to buy the flowers that she likes, not the kind that you like. It's wise, follow me, to learn as much as you can about your wife and then love her the way that she wants to be loved. Here's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid that we've assumed that we've got it all figured out about loving God. And sometimes I think the love that we show is the way we want to love God as compared to maybe the way God wants to be loved. Psalm 138. Would you go there in your scripture? Psalm 138. Keep a marker there. We're going to keep coming back to this psalm. Psalm chapter 138 in the Bible. Psalm 138. Psalm 138, verse 1. It's David again. And talk to me. David was a man, what? Talk to me. After God's own heart. That means this. God liked David. Talk to me. David was a what? A man after God's own heart, which means God liked David. So God enabled, God allowed, God inspired David to write these scriptures. And in Psalm 138 and verse 1, I want you to notice a very powerful three-word statement. And would you read those first three words with me together out loud? Ready? I will praise. And again, ready? I will praise. Now look at the person next to you and say, ready? I will praise. I will praise, notice, thee. I will praise thee. With my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. And then verse 2. Would you look at this one? The first three words together out loud. Ready? I will worship. And again, I will worship. David said, I will praise. And David said, I will worship. Today in America, there's a great dearth in the land of praising and worshiping God. Many Christians spend very little time praising God and worshiping God. Even many full-time workers spend very little time praising God and worshiping God. And I believe it's a very sad situation. I spent a lot of time at church. I spent a lot of time around a lot of Christians. And I really believe in my heart that we've got a weakness, if you want to say, in our movement, in our independent Bible-believing churches. There's a weakness in the area of praising and worshiping God and making it a major focus of our lives. Too often our Christian lives are orthodox, they're based on truth, we know what we believe in our dogma, but they're dry. We have a dead orthodoxy too many times in our independent Baptist churches. Let me say this, with our speech and with our song and in our spirits, we should and it's right and it's biblical to both praise and to worship God. And I personally believe that it grieves God when we don't praise Him and when we don't worship Him in the way He desires. How many of you believe your Bible? Would you hold it up in the air and say, I'm a Bible believer. Look at the person next to you and say, I'm a Bible believer. I hope that you are. And isn't that a good picture? Where's the photographer? Give me a photographer. Where are you at? Who's taking pictures for tonight? There we go. Put those Bibles up again. There we go. Yeah, that's a good view. Isn't that good? Oh, America has no hope. Hey, we're holding the hope right here in our hand. And you can put them down. I wonder tonight, follow me now, do you believe the Bible enough that you'll really obey the Bible? Oh, Brother Clark, I already prayed that. You asked us to pray. I really believe I'd obey whatever God tells me to do tonight. Now hang on, even you adults here. What if God wanted to stretch you just a little bit tonight out of your comfort zone? Are y'all with me? Stay with me now. What if He wanted to stretch you just a little bit? Well, what do you mean by that? Well, here's what I mean. Do you really believe enough about the Bible and what the Bible says if it enters into the area of praise and worship? There's a pause. Brother Clark, what are you suggesting? Brother Clark, you know, we're conservative independent Baptists, so we don't really do that praise and worship stuff. You know, bluntly, I'm sick of hearing that. That's just too often a sorry excuse to try to justify the sin of not praising God and not worshiping God in our independent Baptist churches and amongst our people. Now again, I know some of this might be borderline controversial. Don't get nervous. If you, Brother Skelly will come and rescue the service. If you don't like my preaching, he'll be here soon. But I asked you, and are you willing, if it's coming from the Bible as our final authority, and it may not just be exactly what we've always done, are we okay with God's Word or not? Are we okay with a man that God liked in His, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, giving us Scriptures that are straight out of the Word of God? We take pride in the fact that we're not liberals. We're not the praise and worship crowd. And I think sometimes that we think that gives us a pass biblically. Biblically investigating how we could and should be better at praise and worship. Now I'll go ahead on record and say I'm not a liberal. Thank God. You know, by the way, don't have an ounce of Phariseeism when you make that statement. I'm not a liberal. You're not better, you're just blessed. I'm glad I've been taught what I've been taught. I'm not better because I know what I know. It is called the grace of God in our lives. And I'm not a liberal. And I'm not going liberal. And I don't want what the liberals have. I don't look and watch, you know, some of the neo-type stuff that would be put on the television and look and say, wow, I wish I went to one of those churches. No, I don't. I'm glad I don't. I'm thankful I don't. I'm glad to be an old-fashioned, independent, Bible-believing, Baptist Christian. I'm glad for that. And I don't want the things that are sensual. And I don't want the things that are just made up. And I want something that's real. I know better than that stuff because I've been, by the grace of God, by the Holy Spirit of God, allowed to be around some praise and worship that had holiness as its main element. My father, somewhat a role model for me, not somewhat, a role model, the role model in my life, which by the way, I hope every young man has the opportunity to have that. And I know that all don't have that opportunity. But you ought to look to your pastor, you ought to look to your youth pastor, you ought to look to other godly men. I'm not saying don't respect your father, but you need role models. And my dad, for me personally, in both our public and our private praise and worship has been a role model for me. I know it's a youth conference. I know we're preaching to the teens and I'm going to get there. But I want you adults to hear me also tonight. You ought to be the role model. The role. Now, you know, if I were to say to you men, if fellas, if this were a men's conference, I say, hey, this is what you need to do for your sons. This is what you need to do for your daughters. Most good dads are going to sit up and say, I'm going to take note of that. I want to testify tonight. My dad has been a role model for me. In the area of praising God and worshiping God. See, my dad didn't get saved till he was 30 years old. My mom was a hardcore Catholic lady that did not get saved till 28. And when they got saved, they got a good dose. When they got saved, God changed their lives. And you know what? They didn't care about all the stuff that a lot of independent Baptists did as far as tradition and what we normally would do. They just got into it and threw themselves into it. And they just started loving God and serving God and talking about God. And they weren't afraid to praise God for what He had done. They had been transformed. They had been changed. And they were excited about it. In 1980, we moved to Brother Lester Roloff's. I was not in the homes, for those of you that know about Brother Roloff, right? And if you teenagers don't know, he had homes for troubled teenagers, troubled young people, and I was able to go there. And in 1980, I was 13 years old. And we would have church, and we would go to church, and Brother Roloff, he led his own services. And boy, we'd be there, and Brother Roloff would come out, and we would sing, and we'd sing a long time. A lot of times, we'd sing for an hour before we ever thought about preaching. And we would be there, and my father, he calls that his year of Bible college. He's been a pastor for almost 29 years, but he never went to Bible college. And yet one thing that, by the grace of God, has been part of my life that I really want for Christian young people, that I want your teenagers to be able to experience, is knowing the importance of praising God and knowing the importance of worshiping God. So adults tonight, and again, I'm going to go to the teens in just a few moments here. And by the way, teens, this is for you also. My point is this. I'm not going liberal. I'm old-time religion, and I believe in that. But I'm not going to be a dead, dry, dusty young person for our Independent Baptist movement. And I do consider myself to still be young. I want to see a revival. Follow me now. I want to see a revival of praising God and a revival of worshiping God, especially amongst our teenagers. Because I believe God is worthy of praise, and I believe God is worthy of worship, and I'm not interested in man worship, I'm interested in God worship. I feel bad for God. I mean, honestly, I feel bad for God. Because we're consumed with the work of the ministry, and we're consumed with what it is that we normally do. We need to get consumed with God, the person of God. Whatever happened to Independent Baptists knowing how to praise and worship? I understand that in the Christian life there's going to be valleys. Brother Skelly preached to the young people this morning, made a great point. Christ said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to take up a cross. Are y'all with me? We're not supposed to be Baptist infomercials as preachers and just say, oh, young people, you come tonight, you give your life to God, it's just going to be smooth sailing. No, there's going to be some tough times. But may I remind you, David had tough times. Y'all remember that? How many of you remember David being chased by Saul? You remember David losing his friend Jonathan for the most part? You remember David spending time in the cave? And yet David obviously still praised God despite his circumstances. You remember the Apostle Paul, our model for the New Testament church age? You remember there when he was in prison and at midnight, what was he doing? He was singing praises. Whether you're in the cave or whether you're in the prison or despite whatever it is that's going on in your life, there's no excuse for us not praising God. There's no excuse for us not worshiping God. God. John chapter 10 and verse 10. You don't have to go there. You know the verse. Christ came to give us life, and not just give us life, but the abundant life. Hey, Christian teenager, look at me. How many of you are Christian teenagers? Raise your hand. Check this out. It's good to live for God. We're not just enduring, we're enjoying. We're not just surviving, we're thriving. I'm saying there should not be a Christian teenager that walks around complaining about how hard it is to live for God. It's not what we have to do, it's what we get to do. Hey, we don't have to be in church tonight, we get to be in church tonight. It's a blessing to experience and enjoy the abundant life. I'd rather be an old-time Christian more than anything I know. Hey, there's nothing going on in Milton tonight or in Pensacola tonight, at some club or at some bar or at some movie theater or at some place where the world's going out and party, dude. Hey, there's not one place I'd rather be tonight in the state of Florida than here amongst God's people enjoying the things of God and learning the Word of God and having the Spirit of God speak to me. Man, I love being a Christian. The abundant life. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. You know that one too. Look at me. Talk to me. Ready? Rejoice in the Lord sometimes. No. Rejoice in the Lord always. And Paul obviously was talking to Independent Baptists. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say. Hey, you didn't get it the first time. And again I say, with emphasis, rejoice! Rejoice in the Lord. Ephesians 5, 18 through 20. The Spirit-filled life. Be filled with the Spirit. You know, it's proof, evidence you're filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and making melody in your hearts of the Lord. You know what's sad? Follow me now. Don't get upset. Christian teenagers, you know what's sad? You know what's pitiful? You know what's pathetic? In our youth departments, we've lost our song. Too much of the time. I'm looking for some godly young men in the youth department tonight that would stay in tune with what I'm preaching tonight about David, who did not wait till he was an adult to praise God. Are y'all with me? Young men, are you listening to me? David was not some sissy. David was not effeminate. David took Goliath's head off. And yet David was called the sweet psalmist of Israel. David was not some effeminate guy. David killed a bear. David killed a lion. David was a great man of God, and yet David played the harp. Yeah, come on now. If I had some guy come up here right now and start playing harp, what's so warped about our thinking, we say, well, you know, I don't know if I'd play the harp. Hey, one of the greatest men that ever lived, and definitely a man after God's own heart, played the harp. He had a soul. And God worked through the life of David in Scripture to help us to learn about praising God and worshiping God. I know I'm directing more to the adults than typically you'd hear in a youth meeting, but follow me on this thought. I don't see anything in the Bible. This will be a sacred cow for some. And again, don't put your guard up. Just let God speak. If you don't get something from God and His Word, that's fine. But somebody please show me the Bible where all the congregational singing, special music in our services is mostly there to point to my preaching. I'm not de-emphasizing preaching. But let me just say this. Special music, teenagers, or song service, it's not just fill-in time. It's not just something to do so that we can get to the preaching. And I believe preach the Word when it's in season and when it's out of season. Brother Roloff said when preaching goes out of season, keep shooting. Hey, I'm all for preaching. I believe in it's paramount, Brother Kurt. I learned a word last night. Paramount. As Brother Skelly preached last night, hey, the Word of God is paramount. We need to preach the Word of God. We need to emphasize the Word of God. But I'm telling you, I believe this with all my heart. I'm 42 years old. I've grown up around our independent Baptist churches. And we lack praise. And we lack worship in a public format and in our teaching about how it ought to occur in our private lives. It's essential. It's biblical. And we need a revival of praising God and worshiping God. Now here's a thought, teenager. The Bible doesn't suggest that we praise and worship God. If it's our personality, or the way that we've been raised, or the way we've always done it, or if it's part of our culture in our region of the country. The Bible commands us to praise God. Do you know it is the commandment, repeat it more than any other in the Word of God, that we're to praise God? Well, brother, we need to emphasize what God emphasizes. I'm emphasizing it tonight. Trust me. Do you think it's a mistake that God put Psalms right in the middle of the Bible? Do you think it's a mistake that God made it the longest book in the Bible? And much of the subject matter pertaining to the Psalms is the concept of praising God and worshiping God and focusing on God. Hey, God was not messing up when He put Psalms right there in the middle. You pretty much open your eyes, close your eyes, open the book, you're going to be near the Psalms. I don't think it was an accident that God liked David and God said, that's the guy that's a man after my own heart, because David did not put the emphasis on man. David put the emphasis on God. It's important that we learn this. We'll prove it. Okay, good. Psalm 146. Here we go. Stay with me. Psalm 146. Are you there? Psalm 146. Psalm 146 and verse 1. Together out loud. First statement. Ready? Praise ye the Lord. That's a great statement, isn't it? Sounds like a, well, you know, it's not the Great Commission. The Great Commission is not the Great Suggestion. It's the Great Commission. Okay. God said here, praise ye the Lord. Go to chapter 147. 147 and first statement together out loud. Ready? Praise ye the Lord. Christian teenagers only. Ready? Praise ye the Lord. Psalm 148 and verse 1. Are you there? Simple. Right across the page in my Bible. Psalm 148 and verse 1. Together out loud. First statement. Ready? Praise ye the Lord. 149 and verse 1. Ready? Praise ye the Lord. 150 and verse 1. Ready? Praise ye the Lord. Brother Clark, what do you think the God means? I think he means what he says. Psalm 150, praise you the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Together out loud. Ready? Praise ye the Lord. Everybody take your hand. Everybody put your hand. Put it up in front of your face. And go. Do you feel that? You feel something hitting your hand? Check this out. That's your breath. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. I believe the Bible. Good. Praise God. Praise God. Psalm 147 and verse 1, notice this word. I love the Bible. I love the Bible. Psalm 147 and verse 1, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praise unto our God, for it is pleasant, teenagers only. That last statement, Psalm 147 and verse 1. Ready? And praise is comely. Would you look at that word? What's the last word? Comely. You know what that word comely gives the idea of? It means it's appropriate. It's appropriate. Check this out. Both publicly and privately, it is appropriate to praise God. Now, not in this culture in America. Oh, my. They want us to shove the Lord Jesus Christ back in the corner somewhere. They don't want us to talk about our Savior. Are you with me? Hey, young people, they don't want to hear about your God. But I'm telling you tonight, it's time that God's young people get a good dose of saying, it's not all about me. It's not all about my friends. It's not all about my agenda. It's about my God. I worship God. I love God. I serve God. And you're not going to shut me up, both publicly and privately. I'm going to talk about God. I'm going to praise my God. I'm going to worship my God because there's no one like my God. I'm not talking about Allah tonight. I'm not talking about Buddha tonight. I'm not talking about thousands of Hindu gods and polytheism. I'm talking about Jehovah God. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our worship. And God said, it's comely. It's appropriate. It's a thing to do. Psalm 147, 1 says it's comely. Go to Psalm 66, would you please? Psalm 66. God like David. David was a man after God's own heart. Oh, Brother Clark, I want that to be my testimony. Well, then you better study his life. Since God liked David's emphasis, and David emphasized praise, you and I better get in tune. Psalm 66 and verse 2. Psalm 66 and verse 2. Sing forth the honor of His name. Whose name? God, from verse 1. Sing forth the honor of His name. Teenagers, would you read this statement together with me out loud? Ready? Make His praise glorious. Would you look at it again? And everybody in the entire audience tonight, together out loud. Ready? Make His praise glorious. What's it mean to praise? It means we boast about God. What's it mean to praise? It means we celebrate God. What's it mean to praise? It means that we give the glory to God. The Bible doesn't just teach that we should praise God. The Bible says that we should make His praise glorious. Oh, I know we praise God. But let me ask you a question. In our youth departments, you teenagers in your lives, do you make His praise glorious? I mean, to celebrate. Here's the thing. The world celebrates their heroes. Are y'all with me? Sports figures, sports heroes. Come on now. All you Bama people, Roll Tide. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, man. Yeah. All of you basketball people. Some of you became Miami Heat fans in the past couple of months here. And, oh, man, you know, the world, they'll sing the accolades of LeBron. Oh, LeBron this, LeBron. I know he's a little bit unpopular right now, but you reversed it about 6 months ago. And, oh, LeBron, or, oh, Kobe, and these basketball players, and these football, Tim Tebow, and, you know, all these different people. And, oh, man, we're going to talk about them. We're going to sing about them. We're going to celebrate men. Hey, I want to celebrate God. I want to talk about God. I want to lift up God in my conversation, in our church services, amongst our youth departments. Hey, in the van and on the bus, and while you're listening now in your Christian school at the lunch period, they ought to be praising God. They ought to be worshiping God. It's important that we do it. God said, I want it to be glorious. Glorious. What's that mean? It means we ought to make His praise fit for a king. Fit for a king. Means we ought to make it excellent. We ought to make it wonderful. We ought to make it splendid. Simple thought. Teenagers, are you with me? We don't do this for us. We do it for God. Let that sink in. We don't praise God for us. We praise God for God. We don't do this because it's just something we want to do. We want to do this because it's what He wants us to do. Read your Bible over and over and over and over. Are you listening? Over and over and over. He said, praise me. Praise me. Praise me. If somebody's saying something more than one time, if they're asking for something more than one time, if they're emphasizing more than one time that they want something, then we ought to go ahead and do it for the one that's asking. And God asks us, God borderline, you could use the word, begs us in Scripture, praise me, praise me, praise me. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17 says this, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. I already mentioned, but God alone is worthy of praise, and God alone is worthy of worship, and we can't go wrong when we're choosing to worship God. And we need to praise and worship God because the Bible teaches it, both corporately, collectively, as a group, and we need to praise and worship God privately because both are commanded in the Word of God. Would you look at Matthew 21? Matthew 21. Thanks for turning. Appreciate your attention. Y'all are doing well tonight. Matthew chapter 21. I feel that it's a mistake to think that we should not let young people praise and worship God. I believe that we ought to teach our young people how to praise and worship God. You young people tonight, I have a goal to teach you some things from the Word of God about how to praise and worship God. Look at Matthew chapter 21. I'll pick it up in verse 12. Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. There's certain stories in the Scripture, I just wish I was there to see it. I would have loved to have seen Jesus just flipping tables, making a whip, driving people out. How many of you just have a little bit of a violent streak, you know? Brother Clark, do you espouse violence? Sometimes, it just depends. But here He is, He's driving them out, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. I mean, this is an exciting event. He's driving them out of the temple, and the blind and the lame came to Him in the temple, and He healed them. Now just envision tonight, if you can. A blind man comes and up onto this platform right now, and God just for the moment allows me to heal the blind man. Benny Hinn, here I am. And man, if I could just heal the blind man. I mean, do you think we would all just sit here and say, well, He healed a blind man. Oh, I just haven't seen that before. No. Follow me. I mean, if it were really a blind person. I mean, can you imagine if I just started bringing up a wheelchair person here tonight and God allowed me just, you know, in this dispensation, a moment of healing and somebody got up out of the wheelchair. Well, you know, hey, man, I'm happy for you. You know, we'll shoot some hoops later on if you want. No. You'd be excited about it. You'd be enthused about it. And look what happened. Are you there? Verse 15. And when the chief priests and scribes, now, how many of you know enough about your Bible? They weren't Jesus' favorite people, the chief priests and the scribes. You know why? Because they were pharisaical, they were critical, they had a wrong spirit. Watch this, they had a spirit that did not match the spirits of the Savior. The spirit of the Savior. Well, what was their problem? Look. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that He did, talking about Jesus, and notice what they also saw. And the children crying in the temple. Oh, that's the nursery. No. Last night we had some kids outside the door here just screaming, going crazy. It wasn't children crying in the sense of what we would think, shut that kid up, they're crying. Notice what they were crying. They were crying in the temple and saying, now hold on, time out, did you catch that? They were in the temple. Y'all okay with me still, right? I'm just showing you what the Bible said. I was looking at this one day and God said, there you go, there's something for you need to say. They were in the temple and they were children. Brother Clark, this is a youth conference. How do you expect these young people to get this? Because it's in the Bible. They're crying in the temple. And what were they saying? Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna. They weren't saying like, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were pumped up by what they had seen. Somebody that was blind got their sight back. Somebody that was lame got their strength back. And there were some children that had enough brains. Maybe they were just fired up having watched Jesus drive people out of the temple. Some young men. And hey, follow me now. They looked at what Christ was doing and they got excited about it to the point they were crying. They were getting loud and it was in the temple and they were saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. You know what was going on? Praise and worship. But who had the problem? Chief priests, scribes, they were sore displeased. I don't know if their children are in order right now. I don't know if, you know, that might be wildfire. I mean, those Christian young people getting that excited about, I mean, you know, they should have known that Christ could heal. They should have known that Christ could give. They don't need it. They ought to mute that just a little bit. I mean, they just flat out got excited. All right, we won't emphasize that anymore. I can't say. And he said unto him, here's that what these say. And Jesus saith unto them, yea, have you never read, hey, dummies, ain't you ever read the Bible? Have you never, I love that. I just love, Jesus Christ just said, have you never read, chief priest, scribe? I mean, you write it down, but have you never read? Have you never read what? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast, check this out, teenagers, perfected praise. Well, Clark, we're young. We don't really know how to praise God. God will help you to have perfected praise. God will help you to be able to know both publicly and privately how it is that you're supposed to follow the command of praising God. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. It's almost like, remember how we always talk about it when children get saved? We say, well, it's not that you believe as an adult, but you believe like a little child. You know what we need, adults? Check this out. We need to praise like a little child. A little kid gets excited about something, you can't shut them up. Are y'all with me? It doesn't matter who they're in front of. It doesn't matter where they're at. I mean, if a little kid's excited, my girls, they didn't know this, but we're going away on vacation tomorrow. And I didn't tell them. And their little sister found out about it, and she's down at the house where we're going to stay in, at the ocean. Thank Lord, vacation's coming. And all God's people said, and you're haters if you didn't, amen, because you're jealous of me. But my girls didn't find out today. Hey, their little sister, you know what she texted me this afternoon on my phone, from my wife's phone? Just throwing that out there so you don't think my 10-year-old has her own phone. Here's the point. She said, can I tell them, talking about her big sisters. She was pumped up because she was enjoying the house already and she's excited for what they're going to be able to do and what we're going to be able to do together. And she wanted to tell somebody, hey, when are we going to get more excited about what God's done for us and God's done in us and God's done through us to where we just can't shut up about it? We're going to praise Him no matter who frowns. We're going to worship despite the world frowning on us because He's worthy of praise and He's worthy of worship. It's what we need to do. It's biblical, teenager. Absolutely. And He said, make it glorious. I praise God, but how good are you at it? May not be good English, but you got the point. How well do you praise God? How well, you know, it's hard to teach an old dog what? New tricks. Well, Brother Clark, I've been saved for a long time now, and I'm just pretty much at my comfort level. I asked you earlier, would you be willing to get stretched a little bit if you saw it in the Bible? By the way, praise will help build your life up. It'll help build your family up. It'll help build your church family up. Young people, look at Nehemiah 9, please. Nehemiah chapter 9. Thanks for turning. Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9. I want you to just see a little statement in the Word of God that I think has a very powerful truth. I'm sorry, Nehemiah 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. The last statement in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. Nehemiah 8:10, the last statement. Would you read it together with me out loud? Ready? For the joy of the Lord is your strength. One more time together. Ready? For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Well, Scully, you know what is sometimes troubling? Is watching young people who mean it when they come forward at invitations about how they want to live for God, about how they want to get right with God. And watch after just a little while, and they fall on their faces, and they go away from what it was that they had decided, and they get frustrated by that, to the point where they sit back in a conference like tonight and say, well, I'm not going up there again. I'm not making that decision again, because I said it, and I stood behind a testimony service platform, and I was going to live for God. But you know what? I meet a lot of young people that are frustrated by their failures.
Yeah.
Youth department leaders, would you please stay with me for a moment here? One of the main reasons, teenagers, one of the main reasons why I think that we don't sustain our decisions, we don't keep our decisions, is because of a lack of strength, because of a lack of joy. The joy of the Lord is what? Your strength. Your strength. Your strength. You need it. It'll help you as you praise God and worship God. It'll be a strength in your life. Fruit of the Spirit is joy. I will praise. Psalm 138, quickly, home stretch. I got tons of message, and I'm just going to skip through and let Brother Skelly get up here. Y'all are doing well in your listening. Psalm 138. I'm going to go as quickly as I can. I have pages of notes. Woo! How many of you a little bit warm? Just a little bit? I knew it was that corner. Y'all are doing well. Psalm 138. You can take your jackets off, man, if you want to. Psalm 138, verse 1. David said, I will praise. All right, let's look at it. How many of you teens are still with me? All you teenagers, if you're a teenager, stand to your feet. All you teens, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Spin around a circle three times. Do it. Let's go. One. There we go. Two. Sure. Three. All right, good. Look at the person next to you right now. Look at them right now. Say, I'm so glad that I don't look like you. All right, and be seated. David said, I'm in Psalm 138. All you teens, are y'all with me? I know this little teachy. Brother Skelly will come and he'll preach it. Follow me now. Psalm 138, verse 1. Are you there? He said, I will praise. I will praise. Now, again, study it out, man. Believe me on this. Study it out. In this verse, the word praise gives the idea of to hold out the hand. It means to revere with extended hands. It means to shoot out your hand, or even this, to applaud God. You ever been to a ball game? Somebody does something great. What do? Woo! Woo! Come on! Are you with me? Now, just relax. Brother, I knew you'd get there eventually. Well, we're here, but just relax. Here's the point. Okay? Go ahead. Well, I want to do a word study. Do it. I dare you. Come on now. I'm going to really deep into things. Good. Get into it. Biggest book in the Bible. You can't miss it. Look at the Psalms. Hey, it means to hold out the hand, to revere with extended hands, to shoot out your hand, to applaud God, means that we give thanks to God with our mouth for what He's done, and to do these things intensively, intense and highly concentrated. Here's what I'm saying. God likes it when you get so excited and thankful for what He's done that we lift up our hands to Him, we shoot up our hands to Him, and we just get overwhelmed by God. Prove it. All right, Psalm 134. Keep a marker in 138, but go to 134. Psalm 134 and verse 10. I'm sorry, verse 2. 10 would have been tough on the find. Psalm 134 and verse 2. Lift up. Just go ahead and read it. I'm just saying. Come on, don't get mad at me. I asked you at the beginning if you'd be willing to follow the Bible if you could see it. Lift up your hands in your closet. No. Lift up your hands. Talk to me out loud. Ready? In the sanctuary. Now, I am not, in case you're getting nervous, I'm not going to command any of you to do anything. I'm just going to try to give you some things from the Bible, maybe stretch your thinking a little bit, maybe have a little bit of a paradigm shift for those of you that understand that concept. I'm saying it is biblical in the sanctuary to every once in a while. I'm not saying that it's programmed, scheduled, but I'm not against it being programmed and scheduled. In this sense, we ought to do it because we're commanded. Are y'all with me? I mean, it's just as much of a command and more so in the Bible. I hate to say this. Oh, Brother Clark, you know, this is Old Testament. Be careful there. You don't really want to go there, do you? I mean, come on now. Hey, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the praise of our Savior ought to be consistent no matter what the world's doing. In 2010, there ought to be some independent, Bible-believing people that are glad about their salvation and thankful for the grace of God. And every once in a while, when a preacher's preaching or a singer's singing publicly or even privately in just you and God in your prayer closet or riding along in your car, you ought to just get so excited to say, God, you're wonderful. Yeah, honestly, some of you ought to try it tonight. You'll find out your arm won't even fall off. You won't get leprosy like Miriam. You'll be okay. I'm saying there sometimes we ought to just say, God is good. And I'm excited about God. Well, I never do that, but you do it at the ballgame. You are a contradiction. You will do it, especially you grandmas, when your boy scores the winning goal. That's my grandson! Woo! God likes it. Well, that's one verse. All right, Psalm 47. Psalm 47. Come on, come on, come on. I got to get out of the way. I came from New Jersey to preach. Y'all stay patient with me, all right? It's a long way. I got to fly back 6 o'clock in the morning and be for a wedding. Pray I make it. Psalm 47 and verse 1. Oh, what? Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Now, just so everybody knows, whatever your pastor wants you to do in your services, and I'm just talking about, forget services right now, even privately. God likes it when we give thanks to Him with our mouth and for what He's done. And He doesn't mind if we get excited about it. He doesn't mind at all. In fact, I believe it's a biblical expectation that we would occasionally get excited about it. Ezra chapter 3 and verse 11, and they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord because He is good. Yeah, absolutely. For His mercy endured, not for a little while, but forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Are you with me? In Ezra 3:11, they shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord. Psalm 5:11, but let all those who put their trust in Thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because Thou defendest them. Let them also that love Thy name be joyful in Thee. Be glad in the Lord, Psalm 32:11, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Psalm 35:27, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. Psalm 47:1. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Psalm 132:9. Let the priest be clothed. Let thy priest be clothed with righteousness. And let thy saints shout for joy. Heaven's not going to be a quiet place. Come on. I'm not saying there won't be some quiet spots. But we do not believe what we say we believe. I'm telling you. Don't look at me like, oh, Brother Clark, you know, you're just somebody that they paid to come in here and just try to get everybody fired up. No. I have got a burden in my heart that we would get back to really believing the Bible when it comes to praising God. And every once in a while, it's just okay if it's you and God out on the backside of some hill or in a public worship service when it's in order that somebody talks about Jesus Christ and somebody sings about Jesus Christ and everybody just kind of gets excited up and say, woo, praise God. Christ said, if we don't do it, the rocks will cry out. Brother Clark, what do you think the word shout means in those verses when people shouted? Oh my. I think it means to shout. It's probably very similar to what it would look like at your high school basketball game at the championship when we win. Oh, that's, you know, degrading towards the things of God. No. Stay with me on the illustration and don't look for an excuse. I'm saying you kids in the youth department, every once in a while, if it's just you and God out somewhere, you ought to just get overwhelmed by God and excited by God to where you can open up your mouth. Well, I'm really loving this. This is really great. Well, it's personality, it's culture, it's Bible. The unsaved and the saved raise their hands to clap and shout for sports, but in our private and public worship, we're dead as a hammer. And if someone gets excited, we get nervous. Woo! I think we should get nervous about the fact that we don't get excited. Because for as much as we want to talk about being Bible believers, go ahead and open up the Psalms and figure out whether we're practicing what we preach. I don't have a bad spirit. And honestly, time out. I'm afraid. I don't like to be overly sarcastic. I'm not looking to tweak people's noses tonight. I honestly, what I'm preaching tonight, I'm not looking just to, you know, I'm not looking to do that. Come now, let us reason together. Let's just go ahead and look at these things. I'm not here to hurt. I'm here to help. I really, in my spirit, want to have young people to understand the importance of praising God and worshiping God. Whoever taught us that it's wrong or inappropriate to raise a hand to God or to clap for God or to give thanks to God or to sing to God? Praise isn't a dead thing, it's alive. Young people, let me ask you a question. In your youth department, how often are you all praising God? You know, God's not some inanimate object that we set on a shelf in our life and we pull Him out every once in a while and say, God, gimme, gimme, gimme. I mean, He ought to be real. God like David. David was a man after God's own heart. David praised God. Are you all okay, Brother Kelly? I'm watching that clock. He preached pretty long last night. Brother Kenny had to follow him. So now you reap what you sow. You have to follow the big mouth Jersey guy. Y'all are doing great, and we're listening. We're fine. But here's the point. I don't think we think about God enough to really get excited about who He is. See, when I'm talking about God, young people, I'm talking about the Creator of the universe, okay? He's the one that spoke the world into existence. He's Creator. He's Sustainer. By Him, all things consist. Hey, young people, check this out. He's Lord. He's God. He's just. He's fair. He's righteous. He's true. He's holy, holy, holy. He's perfectly pure. He's perfectly clean. He's without spot. He's without error. He's God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He knows all things. He's everywhere. He's able to do all things. Hey, He's loving and merciful and patient and kind. And He's tender towards us. And He's gracious towards us. And He's our God. I said He's our God. He's the I Am of the Old Testament. There's no one like God. He's wonderful. He's awesome. And you ought to be overwhelmed by God. There's nobody like our God. There's nobody like Him. In who He is and His purpose. But watch this. In His person. Not only that, who God is, but what God's done. Are y'all with me tonight? I'm a saved believer. That is exciting. Hey, if nothing else gets you excited tonight, check this out. You're going to live as long as God lives, and you're not going to go to hell. I mean, there is a real, literal, burning lake of fire, and if I die tonight, I'm not going there. And it's not because of my righteousness. It's not because of merit I've earned. It's not because of what I've done, but the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And there'll be some Christian young people that just go ahead and get yourself praising God. Praising God. I believe it's private. I believe it's public. Look at verse 2, Psalm 138. Are you there? Psalm 138. I will hurry, and I'll just shut up and sit down. Psalm 138, verse 2. David said, I will worship. Worship. To lie prostrate in homage to God. To bow yourself down. To fall down flat. To humbly beseech, to make obeisance, to do reverence, to worship God for who He is. You know what happens when you worship God? It's the time when you get low and when He gets high and lifted up in your life. When you get overwhelmed with God, when you get enamored with God. Sometimes worship's quiet. Psalm 46 and verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Sometimes it's when you're looking at God's creation or a picture of it. The heavens declare the glory of God. And worship can occur in your heart just driving down the road and looking out at a mountain or looking out at an ocean. Sometimes it's just you and God in your prayer closet and He's close to you like He's right there. Sometimes it's going on in your heart as you sit in a pew and you hear the preaching about God. Sometimes you listen to a song about God's grace and you just get overwhelmed. Sometimes you start to think about God's grace in your life and it starts to make you cry. I mean, you can just start talking about Him and get filled up. We went to England. Dr. Sexton took us on a trip and we went to Israel and England. We went and saw the crown jewels. You know, you ride this little escalator deal past all the glass jewels that are there, crowns and this stuff, and it's impressive. It's impressive. And you it's not a real loud place. It's just kind of one of these, look at this. You ever been? Youth workers, you'll get a laugh out of this. You ever been there when you have some type of banquet? Now, teenagers, if your youth department dates or courts or betroths or your parents pick, I'm for whatever your pastor says. All right? It's good and it's the truth. But if you've ever seen the banquets where these girls that the boys go to school with all the time get all dressed up and all dolled up. Not the boys get dressed up and dolled up, but the girls do. And you watch the girls come in at banquet time. Are y'all watching? And the girls come in, they've done the hair, and they've got the fancy dress, and they come in, and you watch these teenage boys that normally, you know, slam the door in the face, and the boy's like... The boys get quiet. They're like... When's the last time you just kind of got about God? My God, God, Lord, you're wonderful. God, there's no one like you. God, I love you. God, I don't deserve it. I fail you, but God, you're so gracious. When was the last time you did anything that even closely resembled just you and God at your prayer time, worshiping God? I've got to stop. But when you look at Psalm 138... In verse 1, I'll read you the points and I'll shut up and get out of the way. David praised God with his whole heart. In Psalm, would you look there at 138, verse 1. He praised God with his whole heart. And I believe that we do worship God in the spirit and in truth. And David praised God with his whole heart. And if we got a heart problem, Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence. If we got a heart problem, it's going to affect our praise. Number 2, David didn't care where he was at or who was watching. In verse 1, it was before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. God's small g. Talking about important people, rulers, kings. If you remember what was said about Moses, that God would make him like a god in the eyes of Pharaoh. So David didn't care who was watching. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. In the English word, it would be similar to the word Lord. Important people. We shouldn't care who's watching. We ought to praise and worship God as God puts it in our heart to do so. David brought up the ark. Do you remember that? He brought it up with gladness. And he did it in such a way that he danced before the Lord with all his might. And went leaping and praising God. He was girded with a linen ephod. He didn't have on his robes of royalty. There was humility. Michael criticized him for it. He said, you're uncovered. You know what we're afraid of sometimes? Being uncovered. You know, if you praise God and worship God with the right spirit, it's somewhat humbling. Just to go ahead and do something maybe out of your comfort. I'm not talking about to bring attention to you. David's dancing before the Lord was all in order. Sure it was. God was pleased with it. And we ought to do all things decently in order. I'm not talking about anything sensual or self-promoting. But David was willing to be humble. David praised God with songs and instruments. Psalm 138, verse 1. One thing I've got a burden for is more young people that would learn to play instruments. Hey, you girls, you're not called to preach, but I believe this. You girls, especially through song, through instruments, can praise God publicly in that fashion. And by the way, young men in particular, we've got too many guys working on jump shots and not enough learning instruments. David praised God with songs and instruments. He was a balanced guy. Take off Goliath's head, play the harp. Like that. David's worship was directed towards wherever the ark of God was. God's sacred place in verse 2, Psalm 138. 2 Samuel 6:17, he brought the ark of the Lord, set it in his place. David knew where to worship, and I believe our local church publicly is the place where we worship. David praised God's name in verse 2. Why? Because of what he felt, because of God's loving kindness, and because of what he knew, because of God's truth. And in verse 3, because God answered his prayer, because God gave him strength. David encouraged and told others to worship him. Verse 4 and 5, the kings were his peers. Your family, your friends, your teenagers, people in the church ought to see us worship together. David knew the importance of humility and praise and worship. Verse 6, he believed God would take care of him during the tough times. Verse 7, he kept praising even though things were tough. He had a desire to get better at praising and worshiping God. Verse 8, I think he's saying, I'm not perfect. God's still working on me. But he wasn't content to be average in his praise and his worship. He wanted to make it glorious. God inhabits praise. Making his praise glorious. Why? A glorious name. Glorious holiness. I've got scriptures for all these. Glorious gospel. Glorious church that we're part of. Glorious life we get to live. Glorious power. Glorious appearing. And we got to make his praise glorious. 1904, Evan Roberts, Wales. You ever heard of that? It's a revival, teenagers. Stay with me. I'm done. I'll be just on 1 hour preaching. I got up at 7:51. Evan Roberts was a young man. And in the country of Wales, there was a great revival. It was a revival of the young people. And it was a revival of praise. Obviously, prayer is part of any revival. Sharing the Word of God is part of any revival. But you study it out. All you teens, I dare you to look it up. Evan Roberts and the revival in Wales. It was young people. It wasn't even always led by Evan Roberts or any other preacher. They were gathering in churches and meeting places. And they'd come together. Again, pastors, don't get nervous, but it wasn't just all order of service stuff. It was young people to get up. And it all started with one young lady that talked about her love for Jesus Christ. And it sparked a revival that caused so many to be saved and so many lives to be changed. I don't have any agenda. I don't have a bad spirit. But all you teenagers, look at me. I'm just trying to get you to think tonight about starting the process of really learning in your own life, both young men and young ladies, the importance of following the command of praising God and worshiping God. I want more of you to be like David, to have it said of you, that's a man after my own heart. That's a young lady after my own heart. Because you know that God is not a spiritual Coke machine that we just go to, gimme, gimme, gimme. But God is somebody to praise. And God is somebody to worship. Get overwhelmed by God. If you get enough of God in you, you won't be able to stay quiet about it. I mean, you'll just praise Him. You'll sing about Him. I get flattered with this compliment that people give. Well, Clark, you sing all the time. You sing all the time. People say, you sing all the time. You sing all the time. You sing all the time. You know, whether I feel like singing or not, that's not the issue. I don't think Paul felt like singing when he was in the prison. And yet I do feel like Paul felt like singing because Paul had such a love for Christ that he said, no matter what's going on, He's in control and He's in charge. And I just love the Lord. I hope you love the Lord. I love the Lord. He heard my cry. He lifted me way up high and set my feet upon a mountaintop. Just think of it. The Lord and King, the Creator of everything, loves me with a love that won't stop. If you bear the burden of a sin-scarred life, your past and mistakes and failures haunt you in the night. You can be forgiven, for God's Word is true. Let the blood of Jesus cleanse and make you new. I love the Lord. He heard my cry. He lifted me way up high and set my feet upon a mountaintop. Just think of it. The Lord and King, the Creator of everything, loves me with a love that won't stop. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Instead of asking God for any eyes, instead of